Let us pray. Oh, for cold mornings, dear Lord, that remind us that we're Minnesotans. For sunshine, we give you thanks. The sunshine that warms our bones and our faces and gets into all the nooks and crannies of our lives. The worrying spaces, the dark hidden corners, the days that make us want to crawl under the covers and never come out. For your light and love and hope that reach us no matter what rabbit hole we've managed to go down. You see us, you know us, you beckon us to the light and warmth of your love. Calm our hearts and our minds that we might hear your word. And now let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So one night at camp, many years ago, there were so many campers and staff that week, thank you, God, that the only place for me to stay was in this old motel down a long, dark, narrow dirt road far away from the campers and the counselors and the majority of the staff. The building was old and run down, and it sat on a hill surrounded by forest. Every time you'd walk in and flick on the lights, you'd see a quick scurry of something out of the corner of your eye. You know when you don't quite see it, but you know you saw it? There were great big curled up dead spiders in the bathtub. And when you'd crawl into bed at night, you were just sure that some leftover critter was in there with you. So, needless to say, you never actually really slept. Add to that the absolute darkness of a North Shore cloud-covered night sky without a streetlight in sight, and well, you get the picture. It was dark, really dark. And every creepy campfire story you'd heard your whole entire life came into 3D life. Even the one about the guy's arm that was scraping on the roof, hanging from the tree. So I turned on a little portable radio on the bedside table and tuned out into a far-off classical station, trying to calm my mind and my heart from all the lions and tigers and bears that I was absolutely sure were waiting right outside my door, until I finally, blessedly, fell asleep. At 2 a.m., I woke to a screeching alarm, which appeared to be coming from right outside my door. So I sit straight up, I turn on the light, waiting for someone to make the alarm stop. I'm like, where is my husband? And then I remembered that there was no one else there. I was alone, nowhere near camp, no one to hear the alarm except me. So I took a deep sigh. Oh, I crawled out of bed. I put on my slippers so I wouldn't step on any of those creepy crawly things. And I made my way to the door. When I opened up the door, it was so dark that I thought I had forgotten to open my eyes. So I opened them and closed them, and I opened them and I closed them, and I couldn't see a thing, not even a shadow of light. I put my hands on the exterior of the cabin, and I walked down, trying to get toward whatever this blaring noise is, which leads me to a door. I opened up the door, and I start blindly looking for levers or switches or something to make that noise stop. I finally flicked some lever and the alarm stopped. So I made my way back to the inside of the cabin, and I started to wonder, what kind of alarm was that anyways? Am I in danger? Maybe I should walk back to camp and go sleep in the lodge. And in my sleepingness, I remember, oh yeah, I'm kind of dramatic. And so I open up all the windows just in case it's some kind of gas. I crawl back into bed with the creepy crawlers and I pray my childhood prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And fell back asleep. The next morning, I awoke to the sun rising, and my first thought was, hey, I'm alive. Thank you, God. And as absurd as that sounds in the retelling of it, I really was so grateful to see the sun come up that morning. Even though I never was in any real danger, it was an old septic alarm. In the middle of the night, that wasn't so clear. Today we celebrate the season of Epiphany, the season of light in the darkness, the illumination and the revelation that the baby Jesus, the Messiah, is the light, the Savior of the world, the light that changes everything. As we heard Pastor Grangard read in this morning's text, King Herod heard that the baby who was born would become king of the Jews. And like many men before him and many who would follow, King Herod felt threatened. After spending his life rising to this position of power, rather than using it to become the Superman of good, he feels threatened by anyone who might take it away, even a newborn baby. So the king gathers up the wisest of men and sends them to follow the star to find this baby. So I can pay him homage, he lies. The depiction of the story of these three kings, these magi, finding the baby Jesus, just like they walked down the aisle today, is found at Christmas time in all of our homes all over the world, on mantles, in yards, in town squares. We see the three kings going and following that star to find the baby Jesus, and then in their jewel-toned turbans and robes, they bow down to the baby. They offer him gifts. And when we think of this scene, we tend to forget the evil that is lurking behind. We see the calm of the baby. We see the star. We see God's light shining. Yet we gloss over the evil that lurks behind. The King Herods of the world who forget that they're called to serve not themselves, but the people entrusted to their care. And yet, light overcomes the darkness. God was working that day oh so long ago, just as God continues to work today, behind the scenes in ways our human brains can't even begin to fathom. God had our Savior come to us in the form of a babe. Who would have thought of that? God came to the three wise men in the form of a dream, warning them to not go back to the king and tell them where the baby Jesus lay. And God came to Joseph in a dream to tell him to take Mary and the baby and run so that Herod could not find them. You, children of God, you are the three wise men. You have so much light and so much love to share with the world. You've lived long enough to know that there are plenty of King Herods in the world, spreading fear and spreading darkness. And more importantly, you've also lived long enough to know that God is always at work behind the scenes. You can look back on your life and you can see that God was always present. Our gospel challenge puts it this way. We need to do that. We need to be God's people. We need to be God's light. Theologian Anne Lamott puts it this way. The thing about light is that it isn't really yours. It's what you gather and what you shine back. And it gets more power from reflectiveness. If you sit still and take it all in, it will fill your cup. And then you can shine God's love and light wherever you go. In this life, there will always be lions and tigers and bears, oh my. And we often find ourselves in the middle of the dark, in the middle of the night, scared about what the alarm is going and imagining that the end is near. But darkness is nothing at all compared to God, whose light will always be with us, who will always be shining. And it's our job to reflect that light in the darkness. There will always be enough light, just a little bit in front of us, to cling to get us through the next day, and remind us that God is in charge, that God is the light of the world. Amen.